Are there any questions or comments? I'd like to talk about things as they are. And the other title for this is A Mess. In the first few days of the retreat, we've been simplifying. Can you hear? I don't know how that you can hear, but my breathing also is not going into the microphone. We've talked about the voice, the voices, the voice of the mind, and the voice of the heart, the choice of the mind, the choice in the heart, of the heart. Sometimes I like to be simplistic to help myself choose, so to say, to feel whether a movement or a word or whatever is coming from love or fear. So sometimes these kind of oversimplifications can be helpful. And they are oversimplifications. So today we're going to get messy. And maybe if we have in mind through the talk, where's Ifat in the translation? Okay. What we've been calling the voice or the choice of the mind has in it a kind of no to life. And what we've been calling the voice or the choice of the heart has a yes. And it's not the mental yes or no. Okay, and many of us, when we come in touch consciously with the no to life, the fear or the voices of the head, etc., and we feel the force of that self-destruction, we feel ashamed, we feel shocked, etc. And so if we know that's in us, human beings, that it's not only you, where there's a strong no to life that's happened. It's, for better or worse, I was going to say unfortunately, but anyway, it is. It is. It's part of what is. And there's also a yes. And sometimes we can't feel the yes when the no is strong. But to have in mind listening today, please feel how the yes, which sometimes we're unaware of, the yes has room for the no. The yes says yes to the no. So the voice or the choice of the heart can include and have space for all those voices and choices of the mind. The yes says yes to the no. The no says no to the yes. So again, another nice simplistic way of holding the mess of the talk and the mess of life. Are there any questions so far? So I'll begin with a poem, if Ifat allows me. Again. More. And it's such a good poem. Some of you have heard it before in Tiru Vannamalai in South India. It's the first of the poems of this book, Sabbath Poems, This Day, by Wendell Berry. I call him Wendy in my mind. I go among trees and sit still. all my stirring, like stirring is when you do this to your coffee with your spoon, all my stirring, the movements, become quiet. So I go among trees and sit still. All my stirring becomes quiet around me, like circles on water. My tasks, so all the things that I should do, my tasks lie in their places where I left them, asleep like cattle. Cattle goes moo and meh. So I think I'll read through the whole poem and then we'll go back this time. Then, so my tasks lie in their places where I left them, asleep like cattle. Then what is afraid of me comes and lives a while in my sight. What it fears in me leaves me, and the fear of me leaves it. It sings, and I hear its song. What it fears in me leaves me, and the fear of me leaves it. It sings, and I hear its song. Then what I am afraid of comes. I live for a while in its sight. What I fear in it leaves it, and the fear of it leaves me. It sings, and I hear its song. After days of labor, which is like hard work, not just work, but hard work. After days of labor, mute in my consternations. We'll just leave that line on. Quiet and maybe not knowing, we'll say. I hear my song at last, and I sing it. As we sing, the day turns, the trees move. I go among trees and sit still. Here we go among people and lie down. And it may feel like all your stirring has not become quiet. But it might be because those things have started to come. Those fears, what fears us and what we fear. It starts to notice, like a wild animal in the forest notices quiet and feels safe to come to drink water. So there's a way that even if we're not aware, some things have become quiet around us like circles on water. So some of the waves have had a chance to live out their life and not come back for now. My tasks lie in their places. That's where the shoulds have a little bit less power over us. They lie in their places where we left them. They're not gone. The things that we need to do, the things that we've committed to do, we also maybe want to do. But for now, there's less and less place for should. So the tasks fall asleep. So it's a little bit like when we sing, and then you can't believe Jaya's still singing that song when everyone else would have stopped 15 minutes ago. And still singing is going on, and it's boring for the mind. But something else can start to have a chance to come up. Asleep like cattle. So the shoulds, I love that this image that he's used, cattle. So animals that have been, that are for use of some kind. Something strong and alive that's for a use. For now, it's asleep. And we would think then could be some peace and quiet. And maybe, I hope, there is some peace and quiet here and there. And also, the peace and quiet, what it does is it invites what needs to be held with love to come and be held with love. To be met and to live in our sight without aggression. And so even though it is, I think, almost always surprising, shocking, painful, whether what comes is fears, as in the poem, or whether what we fear is something difficult, or whether what we fear is something bright and expensive. And this is where the movement into stillness through deep rest, to be more in touch with aliveness, can help us feel how even the small mind, even, including the voices of the mind, the choices of the mind, the shoulds, even the inner critic, or critics, there's usually a chorus. Do you know what a chorus? Yeah. Of critics and trying too hards and so on. They have a little space, just like a chorus has a space on the side somewhere. And we sometimes can start to hear that what they're singing about, just like we had the other day talking about a sense of pressure from family and friends, maybe not to waste your life, not to be lazy. And then feeling how maybe where that voice is coming from in a twisted way is a twisted form of love of life. And we can follow the twists and turns of don't be lazy. Don't waste your life. We take out the do and we take out the not. We take out the waste and we go life. Yeah, it's important. And if we leave space, we've let go of the don't waste your, all of that, the don't and the waste and the your. Because with life we find, is it mine? Is it not mine? We don't have an answer. And then waste, it's hard to decide what would be wasting. Would it be wasting my life to childishly obey my parents still as an adult? Waste? Obey. Whatever you say, sir. Whatever you say, ma'am. Kind of. But it's, there's an aggression on both sides. There can be another kind of obedience that isn't like that, but we wouldn't call it obedience. We call it love. In the poem from 2 days ago, the rule of love, where the heart's one choice, the rule of love, that the mind has to figure out how that's going to fit into the daily situation. The mind needs some leadership. It only knows how to follow. We think that it's the leader, but it only knows how to follow. And so we give it the logic of the parents. It will follow the logic of the parents very, very well, etc. So Wendell Berry's father chose a different rule of love. can restfully come into our lives, into ourselves, into our lives. With a stillness that's not trying to be still. So it's letting, as we had this afternoon, letting there be the movements of the body, with the breath and the heartbeat, the natural rhythms, and letting there be the movements of the mind, but letting that be not all. And gently, but sometimes with some firmness, coming to the belly, for example, as we had this afternoon. We can feel what a different way of moving it is, having gone among the trees and sat still. And we can start to find, don't waste your life. My life? Whose life? Waste? What is waste? Don't? Aggression? Life? Doesn't go together. And we can even start to turn around anything that any voice is saying. We can find that somehow, maybe where it's actually coming from is some wish to protect us. So even don't waste your life. Or you're unlovable. How do we untwist you're unlovable? Which might not come in words, but it does tend to come. You don't belong. You're a failure, etc. How do we untwist these kind of potent, powerful messages or channels in the mind, in the being? And there are many ways, but one really, just getting to simple and basic, is when we feel that you're unlovable, you're not acceptable, etc., that kind of, and it gets us, it hurts, it exactly hurts, whereas the same statement to someone else might not do that, a different statement would do that. What we can feel is, it hurts. And it hurts, one way to say it is because it's not true. It's exactly not true. If it were true, it would be like, okay, right. Now how do I live being an unlovable? It hurts because it doesn't fit. And it hurts because there's a kind of deep knowing also. Not only am I lovable, but love is important. Not only is there belonging, but belonging is important. Okay? So that, just like, that's like the basic untwisting. There might be some other interesting layers to untwist. But you can go to your therapist for that. So in practice, what it can mean is that most of the time, as much as possible, our practice is tuning into that faint whisper of belonging, acceptable, loved, love, quiet, clarity, enough. Basically, it's about enough. Tuning into that there is enoughness, no matter what. And we each individually find the ways that strengthen that connection to the fact that there is enough. From dancing to lying down to every way that helps. So the practice is already a little bit messy because we're not deciding or we're not agreeing that the mind is out, that the mind doesn't belong. Though we don't want it to be the rule or the ruler. Though it doesn't actually want to be the ruler. It's looking for something to follow. And it's hard for the gentleness, the softness, to kind of find a way that it has enough support to stand up and lead the mind. But that's where our practice is going. So it's already a bit of a mess, because we're not just like, belly. And every thought, belly. And then, without realizing what is really then happening is my idea of belly and my idea of me being with my belly. And we've lost the belly, and we've even lost ourselves. And so there are these maybe dreamlike bits and pieces going in the mind, and somewhere there's part of that dreamlike bit is the voice that's saying, I shouldn't be daydreaming, I'm supposed to be waking up, not going to sleep. Didn't someone say that? So we leave room for that, what we could easily criticize as lostness, we leave room for it. And also gentle, firm, being pulled home to where it makes sense to you to be home, like maybe belly, maybe not. And then it's messy because we don't have this enemy anymore, those voices of the mind and choices of the mind. We understand that they are coming in a twisted way from care and protection of life, and losing touch with life along their twisting way. Any questions so far?
It's about the belly and the heart.
Yeah.
Like, what's the difference between feeling from there or from there?
Okay. So she's asking about the belly and the heart, and what's the difference from between feeling from there and from there. What's the difference for you?
I found that easier for me, the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And belly needs, but when I am connected to the belly, something is exactly of fears there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And by connecting to it, it's like antidox in a way.
So antidox?
It can be useful.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes, like, when these fears are operated, it's probably the best thing just to go exactly there.
Mm-hmm.
So like the soft belly.
Okay.
Like
mm-hmm. Okay. Good. I try to summarize. She said for her it's easier to come here, so let's again state as clearly as possible that even if I keep repeating belly, it's just so that every time I don't say belly or feet or back of the head or hands or breath or anything else that you find to be home-like. But so for her it's easier to connect to the heart. And when she does connect in the belly, she finds fears there, and that it can be useful to connect to soft belly in the presence of hurt belly. So for someone else, it might be easier to connect to the belly, and when they go to the heart, they find fears. And there it can be useful to connect to soft heart, giving room to hurt heart. Okay? And everywhere. And we can talk about the upper and lower hearts also. But then there may be many hearts. Elbow heart. So as we connect to our rest and to home, somehow or other, things come up, as in the poem, as in our experience. And we're not armed. We're disarmed. And they come. And so it's important to maybe hear one version of a story, let's say, of how it could be. So we feel a hurt comes up, a fear comes up. Or maybe it was always there and now our presence is large enough to let it be there. Let it be felt. Sometime, maybe just feel, letting it be felt, living a while in its sight. And with that, whatever kind of calmly might be possible, if at all, calm, maybe, sense of humor, friendliness, we can find at the bottom of the fear or the mess of any kind. We land in our vulnerability. Or that makes it sound like an official place to arrive. We feel vulnerable. We might feel exposed, raw, sore, unprotected, shaky. Any other descriptions to add to the experience? And our whole life has been training about not being there. Don't be there. And also, I'm not asking you to go there. I'm asking you to invite your being to have it include sometimes an atmosphere of friendliness with life and the mess, the unorganized reality of how things happen. And we might fall into or be invited into what we thought was vulnerability. Okay? And in that maybe shaky place, well, of course, as the actual happening, we slightly, ever so slightly touch it and immediately are thrown back out into some reaction, emotional or some thought or whatever, but sometimes we're invited in warmly and we warmly accept the welcome because we find that the actual experience, when it's possible through friendliness that the resistance has come down, has come thinner, less resistance, that we're inside ourselves in a way that we haven't been in a long time or ever. It often feels like ever. And it's a good place to rest and let things release. So there might come sadness. There might come fear. There might come different kinds of hurt. But we're not there digging into the hurt. We're there, and by being there, those hurts have the chance to come through and be healed by life. So we tend to think that when we get down to the bottom, the root of the voices of the mind and choices of the mind, the root of our anger, fear, insecurity, etc., We tend to think that the root of all of that hurts in itself. But what I think is that by being there, the hurt is allowed finally, and it's so happy to finally be met and be heard. And so if we cannot freak out there, not think that that's all there is, not think that's the deepest part of you, it's deep. And it hurts. But if we stay with simple, the pain hurts. And the softness allows the pain to hurt. And that's all. The hurt calls life. And life knows what to do. So it feels like to us hanging out there with no answer for a great pain. And we think we should get busy with it because it's urgent. And so don't get busy with it. Then what is afraid of me, what is afraid of me comes and lives a while in my sight. So this is that. What is afraid of us, because we will say that it's wrong and it's bad and it shouldn't be here. So it doesn't come. But when we allow ourselves, or else sometimes it happens that we have no other choice but vulnerability or softness. If it's possible to come just straight to softness, great. And if what happens is that we're coming through a painful story and emotion, leaving behind the story, feeling the emotion, coming to the root, where it can be felt, where it's not afraid of us. So the aggression in us is quiet. The aggression meaning should and shouldn't. You shouldn't be that angry. You shouldn't hate yourself. You shouldn't feel that desperate or whatever. But it is. And it can come and live a while in my sight. He uses the word lives. What it fears in me leaves me. Do you get that feeling? We kind of take this risk of not being aggressive to our own experience and to our own pain. It's very hard, so like not to be hard on yourself when it happens. That you hate your hatred and so on. Still, no matter how many layers of hating the hatred, still, it all comes down to the softness can feel that it hurts. And then it comes. It's so happy that it can come. And live a while in my sight, be seen. And then we start to something deeply settles in our psyche and our being, that the aggression was never needed, or at least is not needed now. And so what it fears in me, so what, let's call it the hurt, what the hurt fears in me leaves me. And the fear of me leaves it. And so there's a layer of friendship. And also what that means is a whole layer of more space, that whatever kind of destructive no to life comes up, first we could be happy that it feels allowed to come up. And I'm not saying bear it all alone, like with help, with friends, with everything that helps, everything. And what doesn't help, that's where the no belongs. Even if it's your best friend. A whole range of movement is freer in our inner world. That we have more of a sense of come what may, whatever may come. can keep putting the aggression down. We can stay with help. And not, because it's urgent, go to, again, fear and hurry and pressure and so on. But because it's urgent, staying tuned to the gentleness with whatever helps you stay tuned to the gentleness. Because it's urgent. Okay? So there starts to come from the back to the front a kind of confidence. We don't feel confident. We feel still terrible and shaky and exposed. We feel a mess. But there is a range of movement that there wasn't. And so then, in the poem, the fear of me leaves it. It sings, and I hear its song. Some deeper truth that comes forth through the meeting of ourselves and life has beauty. And we can receive that. So not to be confused when we're in great pain sometimes, or maybe it's just an ongoing, boring frustration or boredom or whatever. And even in the very small moments of slight irritation or slight impatience waiting for washing your bowl or whatever, like, we can start to feel that it hurts and be okay with that. Letting it hurt. Letting the hurt meet life. Which some people could say, if it works for you, could say that the hurt is met by love. Or it's just met. And in that meeting, there is a kind of beauty that can come, like a song, kind of rising up. So not to be confused. It's not a betrayal. It's not saying it doesn't hurt. It hurts, and in the meeting, there's a song that can come in that space. So what about what is afraid of us that isn't difficult and destructive? What about the yes that's afraid of us? Because we think there's not enough room in our life or whatever. The big yes to life. The ways that that's afraid of us and comes. And so again, we might feel some vastness or lightness, a possibility of happiness for no reason. And then we might feel, how could I feel that in this world when people are suffering, for example? There can come different reasons not to feel that lightness of touch of life. And so that is afraid of us. And then we learn to just let it be. But sometimes we have a glimpse and then the mind starts, it races. Thinking, how could, I can't live that way. I can't live that big. What if I have to chop vegetables? I might cut off my finger or whatever. So let the mind race, but don't think that that has anything to do with your situation. Big has room for small. Like yes says yes to no. Then what I am afraid of comes. I live for a while in its sight. So this is where we do live on this planet. And we don't go away. We do live here. And so maybe another version of feeling shaky. What I am afraid of comes. I live for a while in its sight. So just as in the awareness, that what we're afraid of is here, the awareness isn't the thing. So similarly, I live for a while in its sight. I bear the fact that I'm here on this planet. And it's a non-abandoning. That doesn't happen by willpower. Again, it doesn't happen through aggression. There can be times where if someone's strong conditioning, their strong momentum is abandoning their life, abandoning themselves, not being here. Looks like they're here, but they're not here. We. Then we can, in the same way that we can have this gentle, firm belly amidst the dreamlike thoughts, we can have it gentle, firmly, here I am. In this world, on this planet. And as an experiment, it's not as a life sentence. So it's not the kind of no escape like prison. It's an experiment. What if I don't go with that escaping? Denial, etc. What I fear in it leaves it. We come in touch with some place in us. We call it a place. It's not a place, but it can be more accessible through certain places in the body. But let me just call it a place for now. We come in touch with a real place in us that is okay and has been okay. And will be okay. We start to feel that our own leaving, our own protection of ourselves from what we feared, hurts us. So it's not to say that people didn't also hurt you. We hurt each other. But we start to get the feeling of how that movement away from my life hurts me. And the resistance to feeling can gradually and sometimes be more thin. And what we fear leaves what we fear. What we fear in it leaves it. And the fear of it leaves me. So this in our lives is good news and bad news. Because to hear that it's possible that no matter what the fear is and no matter how understandable it is that you have that fear, it's possible to live without it. That's the good news and the bad news, because it's easy to take that as when the fear is there and I fear it, I'm wrong. I'm not good enough, etc. And we trigger the whole not enough program, which we know so well. Okay, another chance to feel for that very faint and subtle enough. And we can use enough in the two ways. We say to the not enough, enough. And we say to the enough, enough. And we can start to feel how there is a way that a gentle and firm movement can happen that's not aggressive. It stays connected to life, to love, and it says, enough. Or it says, hello, no, yes. What I fear in it leaves it, and the fear of it leaves me. So let this stay as a possibility that's in you. It's real. It could be you living without that you've always lived with, as far as you remember. And that can be scary. To live without that weight, without that grip, etc., without that story and so on. What would I do? Sometimes people really feel this question comes in the mind. What will I do if I'm not dealing with my fears? So don't worry, it's not boring. But the possibility of that much lightness in our real own, each one of our lives, the possibility of that much lightness doesn't mean that heavy is wrong. Is it clear? In a way, we can even say heavy is light, because everything is a way in. So we, heavy, okay, heavy, yes. There's aliveness in heavy. There's connection to heavy, whatever the fear is, to a love of life. So even in the no to life, we find at the root a love of life. Sometimes what kind of happened in some people is more of, there was, let's say, as if there was a love of life, and then it never got met and never lived for a while in anyone's sight. And so there was a shutdown. Okay. If no one knows what I'm talking about here, then all right, turtle in shell. And we kind of find a way of rolling around without legs. And other times it goes into a more dynamic pattern that you can feel the self-destructive energy more active. And either way, it's a way in. What I fear in it leaves it, because it came from me. And the fear of it leaves me. So the possibility of living fearlessly in a scary world is what he's talking about. It sings, and I hear its song. So what we thought would be the end of us isn't. And in some kind of deeper meeting, let's say we can talk about the meeting with the shadow, something of beauty becomes available, and we can receive it. After days of labor, so we're talking about rest, relax, let it happen, allowing, it's okay. And it's hard sometimes. Even when we're not facing something that's difficult and painful to feel, even when things are streaming along in a way that we feel heartful with, there is, in the streaming of aliveness, there come times of struggle. And it's not just that me trying to stop listening to the voices of the mind, etc. That can be part of it. But a lot of times when that's happening, we're just kind of, in India, we have the phrase time pass. Time pass. So it would be sitting on the train, you would need time pass. So you have peanuts, for example, that are still in the shell. And it's time pass. You open the shells and you eat the peanuts and you pass it around. It's not about getting as many peanuts in as fast as possible. You're just passing the time. So as I spoke about that push-pull thing maybe on the first night, I think, that's time pass. We're not really into giving food. We're just in a holding. We're just, okay, a holding pattern. Just, okay, eventually I'll start living. And other times that is a more organic, alive struggle coming from a deeper place. Our willingness is greater somehow. So it's another thing to feel for in addition to what helps gentleness in you, in your life now. What helps also, I can add many things here, sense of humor. What helps there be available willingness? Not like you should try harder, you should be more willing. But we find ourselves willing to be honest. So for example, honest is when we live for a while in the sight of what we fear in it can leave it because it doesn't belong to that thing, actually. And that gives permission for the fear of it to leave me. So rather than trying to be honest and really straining the brain cells to be honest, we find what helps there be like a well and a welling up of willingness. Oh, well, oh God, a well of willingness. Yes. After days of labor, mute in my consternations. So we don't know what in the world is going on. And what's right and what's wrong. And that's the key. We're fully in to whatever is kind of demanded of us by the process that's unfolding. So it's not the kind of demand that we're used to responding to when someone says you shouldn't waste your life or you should do something with your life or whatever. We're used to that kind of demand and that pricks our buttons and then we wait until we're kind of willing. The willingness comes to find a way with it. Mute, there's no words. Mute means that I can't speak. So even if there's a lot of words, we kind of know they have no bearing on what's really happening. And yet there's still consternations. There's still kind of struggle going on. There's still some kind of things are shifting in their places in us, in their relationships to each other. I hear my song at last. So it's not that he's singing his song yet. He hears his song at last. And I sing it. It's okay? No. Okay. The difference between armed struggle that's basically time pass, there doesn't happen to be the willingness for an honesty that would kind of drop the bottom out and help us kind of wiggle our way into things, into what's happening. So there's the struggle that we think of as struggle. I'm really trying hard, the push-pull. I'm doing my best and I'm watching myself do my best and I'm commenting on how if I'm doing my best or not, or how if my best is good enough, etc. And it's not our fault when that push-pull goes on also. But we meet that. And then what I'm calling a kind of natural struggle, like could imagine when we see a seed that's about to sprout, it's like filling with life, and then pop. And then it starts to get, the root starts to push aside the soil. This tiny little thing is moving the earth. and then pop, comes into the air. So hopefully the seed is having a good time, but the sense of the power that's going on, like filling with life, and then something strong happens. And then it doesn't stop there. Then it's filling. And something that we can notice that strong happens. But something strong is happening the whole time. Filling with life. And I hear my song at last. Many times we wouldn't recognize it as my song. Who, me? The evening light coming through the trees. Wow. A sense of a breeziness that can have gratitude or appreciation in it. But also something that comes from within the individual and moves in a way that's so hard to describe. I just put my hands go like this, a little bit like maybe smoke from incense. It's light. It doesn't seem to know where it's going, and that makes it really beautiful. If it would just be like, it's okay. And even if the incense smoke does go zhuk, there's something beautiful about that. It's so light. It doesn't quite have a body, and it doesn't quite not have a body. We can see it. So this is the kind of movement that happens as we rest, and we give up that old alertness, which is usually mixed with an over alertness, which is about the fears. It's driven by fear. And without our doing and without our knowing, there start to be movements that somehow we can sense. But it doesn't make a mark in the mind that we can then say, hey, look, I experienced that other awareness. Or because it's such a song. So light, and it has its beauty. And also it's here and it's gone. And it's here and it's gone. It exactly doesn't leave a trace. And so when we do our accounting, we say, look at all these marks on me from today. We're all scratched and bruised from all of that today. And we look for, okay, what about the good stuff? Where's the trace of that? Let me count how many good moments I had. And if we're a little tired or in a little bit of a bad mood and we're more in the no, then we'll really think that there were no good moments. Though there were. So when you do your accounting, you need to have that kind of thing that can make the invisible ink visible. So it's a completely other kind of experience. Yeah? It's simple, but there's the kind of experience that's easy to feel that makes a mark. And there's a kind, not to say there's only one, but there's kinds of experiences that don't really leave a mark. Though in the moment, the intensity is great. Can be. I hear my song at last, and I sing it. So then the yes has a chance to move into our lives. Or the yes has a chance to move more of us, or all of us, with it. And then I love this part of the poem where he says these three words, as we sing. And he doesn't explain who is we. Is it the fears that got discharged, like uncharged? Or is it the world? Or the song and he? Or... And it's a poem, so it maybe means that and more. I hear my song at last, and I sing it. So there's a way that it's quite impersonal, definitely. The appreciation comes through, and it's quite impersonal and quite personal. There's an individual who's in touch with something bigger than individual. And the appreciation is both limitless and Very personal, very intimate. And I sing it as we sing. So that very personal and very impersonal, intimate and vast, pulls us out of our shell in a way that doesn't hurt, usually. And we're we, instead of I. As we sing, the day turns, the trees move. Thank you for being here. It's really great privilege to be here with you. And an honor. Thank you.